Well, hello, and thank you for joining us. And I hope that you're having a great day. Hope that you've already heard from the Lord today and that you're looking forward to our hearing from Him together. I look forward to these times. I hope that they're a blessing for you as well. And as we have this time, as we get started, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for this day that you have given to us. Lord, for your faithfulness and your goodness. And Lord, as we're before you, we want to hear from you. Lord, we want to know you better. We want to grow in your grace. We want to grow in our love for you. We want to grow in our trust in you. Father, I pray, O Lord, that you will speak, that you'll enable us to hear and to comprehend and to understand. Lord, to practice and to apply all that you have to say. Father, be with us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, again, I hope that you are having a great day. But also know it may be possible that you're going through some circumstance or situation or some difficulty and that you're burdened or anxious about something today. And even if it's not a major problem, I'm sure that all of us have some issue that's on our mind or on our heart. And we know we should pray about those things. We want to pray about those things. But sometimes we wonder, how can we pray about those? Well, for you and I to pray effectively about those situations and every situation, there are some key things that we need to know. And we find these things as we look at Psalm 28. It's another Psalm of David. But as we look at this Psalm, we see some key things that David knew, some key truths, and the very same things that you and I need to know if our prayer life and our walk with the Lord is to be vibrant and to be effective. The first thing that we need to know is our object of prayer. That is, to whom we pray. Think of what we read in the very first part of the first verse. To you, O Lord, I call. And I know I read that and I make that statement about knowing the object of our prayer. And we think, well, that's obvious. I'm praying to the Lord. Yes, but who is He? David knew who God was and is. Do we? Do you? Not our preference, not a concept of God that we fashioned in our own minds, because in reality, that's actually an idol. But God, as He's revealed Himself to be in His Word. I'm greatly concerned that much of what we have today, in a shortcoming of modern Christianity and modern church, is that we really don't know God. Now, oh yes, we have activities and events, especially before COVID, and as we move through that and look beyond it, we think about getting back to normal. And again, we think about activities and events and emphases. We think about religious busyness and religious feel-goodism. But there is a lack of truly knowing the God of the Bible. And if we're going to walk with Him, seek Him in prayer, hear from Him in prayer, we're going to have to know Him as He is. As we still go through this time of COVID, as we look at the uncertainties around us, I challenge you to make it a priority of your life to learn who God is. Get in His Word. Let Him reveal Himself as He is. Not, again, our preferences or what we fashioned, not what we see in sentimental movies, but who God really is, the true, living, almighty, and sovereign God. And if we're going to pray effectively, we need to know the object of prayer, the one that we truly pray to. But not only do we need to know our object of prayer, we also need to know, truly know, our need for prayer. We think, well, that's obvious. I'm doing it. I'm praying. I know I have a need. That's why I'm praying about it. But we need to know the absolute necessity. That is the mindset deep within our heart as we pray that unless God moves, we're sunk. We're done for. It's not that we can do the majority of it. We need just a little push to get us over the top of the hill. That we have a desperate need for God. And that for what only He can do. You think of what we read as we continue in the latter part of, continue on into verse 1 all the way through the latter part of it. He's already said, to you, O Lord, I call, my rock. Do not be deaf to me. For if you're silent to me, I will become like those who go down to the pit. Do you hear what David is saying? God, unless you move, I'm sunk. I'm done for. There's no hope. You alone can do it. I have no other help, no other hope, no other place to go. You are it. You're my only hope. Only when we pray that way do we truly encounter the Lord. Only when we pray that way are we really, truly, genuinely praying and not just talking to ourselves. We need to recognize our need for prayer. That's why so many times is that it's in the worst of circumstances that we encounter God the most. Yes, in His grace and His faithfulness, He reveals Himself to us in those times, but it's also in those times that we're in the best condition to actually hear from Him, that we're actually in the best spiritual condition and position to see Him and to hear from Him. We need to know our need for prayer. We also need to know our basis for prayer. Why exactly is it that we can pray to God? Why exactly is it that we can expect Him to hear us or long and hope that He will answer our prayers? What's our basis for that? Well, look at what we read in verse 2. Hear the voice of my supplications when I cry to you for help, when I lift up my hands toward your holy sanctuary. And I want you to think about that last phrase there, your holy sanctuary. You think about what that meant, especially for David. It was in the sanctuary that the Ark of the Covenant would be. And on top of the Ark of the Covenant was the mercy seat, where once a year the high priest would pour the blood that would cover the sins of the nation, or sprinkle the blood to cover the sins of the nation. It was there. And all of that was actually a picture, a representation. Bible scholars refer to it as a type, an illustration of Jesus Christ, His wonderful work of redemption, His sacrifice for us, whereby His blood our sins are covered and we're made right with Him. And our basis for coming before God is in fact based through salvation in His Son and based upon the position we have through Jesus Christ, and that He is our high priest. And it's on the basis of grace that we can come to Him. You think of what we read in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who's been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Our basis the basis of our standing before God, the basis of our ability to come before God, what we depend upon for God to answer our prayers is in fact His wonderful grace, the basis that we have in front of before Him based upon His grace through Jesus Christ, His Son. And of course, as we say that, I have to ask you, have you come to Christ for salvation? Do you personally know Him as your Savior? And believers, you think about being before the Father, are you resting in Him? And the wonderful truth is, in Him we are fully accepted in the Beloved based upon what He's done. The basis of our ability to come before God is the wonderful grace of God through Jesus Christ. But then we come to what we would say would be the fourth element in the psalm, and that is our desire in prayer. And again, you think, well, that's pretty obvious. I want the problem solved. I want the need met. I need the answer given. I need the direction made clear for me. And that's true, and God wonderfully gives that, but there's actually a greater objective in our prayers, and there needs to be a greater goal. Think of what we read in verses 3 through 5. Do not drag me away with the wicked and with those who work iniquity, who speak peace with their neighbors while evil is in their hearts. Requite them according to their work and according to the evil of their practices. Requite them according to the deeds of their hands. Repay them for their recompense. Because they do not, listen to this, regard the works of the Lord, nor the deeds of His hands, He will tear them down and not build them up. Obviously, another psalm where David is praying about his enemies, and they're David's enemies because they are in fact God's enemies, and they're God's enemies because they have in fact sought to rebel against, and you think about the phrase there, phrases in verse 5, the works of the Lord and the deeds of the Lord. What David's talking about there is God's will. Our great desire in prayer needs to be God's will. Certainly bring our needs, our burdens, our concerns, our worries. Certainly bring those things before Him. He wonderfully answers them, but the desire that we need to have as we pray about those is for God's will to be done. Not just get us out of the problem, but solve the problem according to His will. Or, if it's His will, give us the grace to endure it. But the great desire in our prayer needs to be to seek God's will. Just thought about the fact that I once heard a Bible teacher make the observation that prayer is not about getting our will out of heaven, but it's about seeing God's will done on earth. Prayer is seeking God's will. But then lastly, we come to our confidence in prayer. What enables us to pray with confidence that God will in fact guide us into His will, equip us for His will, and fulfill His will? Well, think of what we read in verses 6 through 9. Blessed be the Lord because He's heard the voice of my supplication. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in Him and I am helped. Therefore my heart exults and with my song I shall thank Him. The Lord is their strength and He is a saving defense to His anointed. Save your people and bless your inheritance. Be their shepherd also and carry them forever. We can have confidence because God hears and answers the prayers of His children when they come to Him. One of my favorite Bible verses is Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me, and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things that you do not know. You think about what our Lord said in John 16:23-24. In that day you will not question me about anything. Truly, truly, I say to you, if you ask the Father for anything in my name, He will give it to you. Until now you've asked for nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, so that your joy may be made full. Now understand what it means to pray in the Lord's name. That doesn't mean just a magic formula, where, as we just talked about, we pray for what we want and we stick in Jesus' name on the end of it, and we somehow think that God's compelled to answer it. To pray in His name, as we've just talked about, actually means to seek God's will. Imagine if you were involved in some type of important negotiation, and you instead, and for some reason you couldn't be there, and you had some representative to go for you. He was to go in your name. Well, what is he supposed to do? He is supposed to do what you would do if you could be there yourself. He is to represent your side, your case, your need, your proposal, whatever the situation may be, the way you want it presented, in the measure that you want it presented. He's not to go off on a tangent making promises and signing commitments that you have that you have no desire to be a part of. He represents you. When we pray in Jesus' name, it means that we are seeking to pray just as He would pray if He's the one voicing the prayer. And I know through the Spirit He's praying within us. He's always at the right hand of the Father. But to pray in Jesus' name means that we are seeking to pray as He would. We are, in fact, seeking His will. You think about what we read in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. This is the confidence which we have before Him. If we ask anything according to His will, again, as we've just talked about a moment ago, He hears us. Our confidence is, as we allow God to guide us in our prayers into His will, that He will in fact answer. And we can have confidence in His answering. And David knew that. You think about all that David knew as he prayed. He knew to whom he prayed. He knew the basis of that in God's wonderful grace and mercy. He knew that his real purpose was in fact to seek God's will. He knew his confidence was the fact that God would answer such a prayer. No wonder David could pray such effective prayers. Do you know what David knew for prayer and for life? If we knew what David knew, we would pray as David prayed. As we think about this psalm, let's learn what David knew and let's pray the same way. Let's go to him in prayer. Father, again, you're a wonderful God. Thank you for this time you've given to us to be together. Oh God, for your wonderful grace and salvation, your eternal love for us, your invitation to seek you. Father, help us, oh Lord, to remember what we need to know to seek you in prayer. And Father, may we encounter you, hear from you, and experience your wonderful work, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's been good to be with you. I hope that this is a blessing for you. And I hope that once more you have a great day in the Lord.